Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. You give us a future and a hope, and you actually explain to us in many ways what that's going to be like. And part of that future and hope also is the blessing of being parents, of being mothers and fathers. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would bless our time now as we consider this psalm of celebration of motherhood and also of being parents, so fathers are included there, but in particular, the bearing of children. And so we pray for your blessing now as we consider this portion of your holy word. Speak to us, for your children, your people have gathered to listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have before us is one of a series of songs that the people of God sang as they were going to church. They were going up to Jerusalem. Now, they didn't have modern conveniences like we do with cars and trucks and all. They had to walk. Or maybe they rode on a donkey or maybe a horse or so. But where the church, if you will, where the worship of God corporately was found was up in the mountains, up in the mountain of Mount Zion, up in Jerusalem. And so when you went there, no matter where you lived, even if you lived on a high mountain, you had to go down into the valley and then go up to the top of the mountain, Mount Zion. And so everybody had to ascend into the temple or into that temple area. And so while they are traveling, God provided for them a series of songs to sing. We read Psalm 121 earlier and notice from, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? Why is that question raised? Because between me and the city, there's hills, there's wild animals, there's thieves, there's danger. So who's going to help me to travel as I go up to Mount Zion? And the answer is the Lord. If you will, you could summarize Psalm 127. It's about the Lord, isn't it? Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, it is vain for you to do anything unless the Lord is involved. Do we have that kind of orientation? Do you have that orientation? That no matter what you're doing, that at least in the back of your head or so, you're thinking, well, you know, unless the Lord does this, unless the Lord blesses me at work, unless the Lord blesses me, and you can fill in the blanks, is that your orientation? Is that your understanding? That's one of the reasons why we come to church on Sunday. Why? So we can reorient our eyes and reorient our mind to saying, to looking at everything from God's perspective first. Do you understand that? Because we get caught up in me. We get caught up in other people. We get caught up by all the things going around. We get overwhelmed by circumstances, right? And so how do we overcome that? We get caught up with pain or whatever, the struggles we have. How do you overcome that? Well, God says, look to me. Find in me your comfort and rest. Start with me. Unless the Lord builds a house, it's not going to last. And so here we have this series of songs focusing on who God is in various contexts. And this particular one is in the raising of children. This particular psalm, the Jews use this as part of a Thanksgiving service for childbirth. You know what babies are, right? One definition of a baby is someone has described the baby as a digestive apparatus with a loud noise at one end and no responsibility at the other. Someone else referred to, a friend of mine, referred to them as poisonous vipers in covenantal diapers. Babies are wonderful, but they're also a challenge, right? Unless the Lord grants me the grace. So how many times, you know, while raising, having babies and having a colicky baby that won't go to sleep and is crying, you know, oh, Lord, I need your help here because I'm losing it. You know, my patience is worn thin. You know, help me, Lord. Have you ever, even if, for those of you that are parents, do you, can you relate? Can you say amen to that? I remember one time holding one of my sons, and he was colicking. He just wouldn't go to sleep, and I remember holding him, and I'm so angry. And I said, Lord, please don't help me not to shake this baby. And I'm shaking, trying not to shake, because I'm so tired. Unless the Lord helps, right? Unless the Lord builds a house. Notice the psalm speaks of blessing. And so the main point there, God extends his blessing from generation to generation through the office of motherhood. It is God who both gives and nurtures life, and he does so through the willing vessels of his love. Is that who your mother is? Do you think of your mother that way, as a vessel of love? I was in Menards this week, and there was someone that waited on me, and she had 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses, was it 4 through 8, tattooed on her arm. And I noted, I said, well, that's a great passage of Scripture. What's it about? Someone? Love. But if you notice that passage, it's not love is just these wonderful feelings, but what? Love is patient. Love is kind. And if you go through the attributes of love there, it's hard in yourself, right? Love is looking out of yourself and being concerned about someone other than yourself. Isn't that a good definition? Is that a good definition? When we read the Bible says God is love, is that what God does? He looks past himself, he looks out, and he looks at us? Again, have you ever considered that everything that exists is because of the love of God? Is that an interesting thought? And if you don't, if you want to read more on that, I have a book to recommend to you that brought that idea to fruition. God cares for people outside of himself, like you and me, and he calls us to do the same. Isn't that a good definition of a mom? Someone who cares for somebody else? Cares for someone that can't care for themselves or can be a drain, right? Oh, I'm so tired. So, my first point, motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. Imagine if you didn't have a mother. Would you be alive today? You didn't have a mother and a father to take care of you. Can babies exist on their own? Can baby horses, after being birthed, can they get up and stand and walk and run after a few minutes? The answer is yes. They can survive. But a human infant? Nope. How many years before they can even roll over or walk or feed themselves? They're completely helpless. They are in complete dependence upon mom. Motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. Notice in our text, begin with, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city. What is a house and what is a city at this time? Well, a city is a place where there were walls. It was a place of security, of protection. If a city didn't have walls, it was no good. But if a city had walls, if there's an enemy attacking, you run inside the city, you close the gates, and you're safe. Unless the Lord guards that city, the watchmen who are warning of the coming of the enemy watches in vain. God has to protect the house, the city, also the house, the family. Unless the Lord guards that house, that household, it is vain. It is emptiness. It is worthless. That's what the psalmist is saying here. God is the one who creates the family. God is the one who builds it. And God is the one who protects it. Is that good? Is that good? I don't know about you. I'm not that great a guard, but God is the greatest guardian of all. And if he's built the family, he defines marriage, he defines the family, he will protect it. Notice in verses 1 and 2 the purpose. One of the purposes is to undermine our pride and self-sufficiency. Did you catch that? Unless the Lord does this, it ain't going to happen. Well, I can do that. Can you? Are you completely sure that you are able to withstand whatever comes your way without the help of God? Does that sound arrogant? I can do this. I remember as our kids were growing up, there were some times when they said, I can do this. Okay, whack, ooh. All right, pick them up, love them, dust them off, try again. God is saying here, unless he's involved, we fail. We need him. Notice the statement also. It's warning against vanity or pride or idols. Even the best things and blessings, the blessings of God, can become an idol. Can your calling that God has called you to do become an idol? Can your job become an idol? What is an idol? Idol is taking something and manipulating it in order to get what you want. Can your relationships be idols? Can you manipulate other people to get what you want? How often do we do that? Right? Can anything become an idol? The answer is yes. Right? Calvin says our hearts are idol factories, constantly churning out, creating new kinds of idols. You don't think you're an idolater? Just wait 5 minutes. And if you're aware, you realize, oh yeah. Unless the Lord builds the house. What is this psalm designed to do? While the people of God were walking up to Jerusalem, it was designed to strengthen their faith. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Get your eyes on the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're the one that's building Jerusalem. You're the one that's guarding the city of God, the people of God. I trust you. Children are, one author writes, a mysterious uncertainty. Isn't that an interesting statement? Children are a mysterious uncertainty. When you have a baby, are you sure you know how that baby's going to grow up? In this time frame, whether this child is even going to live to be an adult. Infant mortality rate was high. Right? How about mystery? I have a hard time understanding myself, let alone somebody else. These children, are they a challenge? Are they mysterious in some ways? You tell them what to do, you show them why it's good, and then they do something else, right? No, am I the only? I'm hearing laughs, so I know that there's somebody saying amen in their hearts, right? Spurgeon said about children, about mothers, let mothers labor to make home the happiest place in the world. And Disneyland wasn't created then. This is 100 years before Disneyland. If they are always nagging and grumbling, they will lose their hold on their children. And the boys will be tempted to spend their evenings away from home. Home is the best place for boys and men. And a good mother is the soul of home. I thought that was a great statement. A good mother is the soul. It's the wheel. She's the wheel, right? She's the hub of the wheel. He goes on to say, the smile of a mother's face has enticed many into the right path, and the fear of bringing a tear into her eye has called off many a man from evil ways. The boy may have a heart of iron, but his mother can hold him like a magnet. The devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother alive. Great is your power, O woman. See to it that it be used for him who thought of his mother even in the agonies of death. What a powerful statement. Remember, one pastor said that when he was growing up, he had friends who were tempting him to start smoking. This is back in the 50s or 60s, when everybody smoked, right? And he said the thing that stopped him from joining in on smoking cigarette was the look on his mother's face when she found out. He said it kept him from doing something that was not good. Mom, you have a power beyond your imagination. How will you use that? It is a blessing from the Lord. Secondly, second point, this blessing perpetuates the world. Verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage, are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Imagine for a moment what it would be like without motherhood. Would there be any houses? If it was just Adam, would there be any cities? Would there be any families? What would the world be like? Well, Adam would be there alone. What did God say about that? It's not good. After God created everything and he said, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, and he created man and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Right? God created woman. Created her to be a helper, comparable to him. And through that, Adam was able, and Eve was able, to fulfill God's calling to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Right? Because God created a woman. The man was alone. Children, our text says, are a heritage or an inheritance and a reward, a benefit. Sometimes it's hard when you're raising children to say, well, this is very rewarding, when they get to be rebellious or when you have to deal with strong will, or even sometimes a quiet, passive child. Sometimes they're even harder. Sometimes the strong-willed is obvious. One writer speaks of the satisfaction of being a mother in the Bible. Oh, the satisfaction of Hannah in seeing Samuel serve at the altar. Of Mother Eunice in seeing her son Timothy learn in the Scriptures. That is a mother's recompense, to see her children coming up useful in the world. Reclaiming the lost, healing the sick, pitying the ignorant, earnest and useful in every sphere. That throws a new light back on the old family Bible where she reads it, and will be ointment that to soothe the aching limbs of age and lighten up the closing hours of life's day with the glories of an autumn sunset. The blessings of watching your children grow. Isn't that a heritage, a reward from the Lord? Yeah, I mean, it's easy to find fault, right? Do your children turn out perfectly the way you wanted them? No. But they're still a heritage. They're still a blessing. They're still a gift from the Lord. Do you say thank you? How often? Thirdly, this blessing, verses 4 and 5, secures and protects the family. As you notice that statement about quiverful, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so the children of one's youth, how happy is the one who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Notice that. What's the statement here? What's the picture? We don't have bows and arrows today. Well, some of us still hunt with bows and arrows, but most of us don't. What is the picture that's being described here? Having that quiver full was protection from loneliness. Protection in this society from abandonment. There was no support system. There was no social security. There was no social net of the day. You were dependent upon your family to take care of you. Blessed is the one who has that gift from the Lord, that protection. The same thing with loneliness. Notice it says that they are like arrows. What does an arrow do? You take it, you string it on a bow, you shoot it. There goes my... You shoot it, what happens to the arrow? Is it with you anymore? It's gone. The idea is shooting that child out into society. Does that require faith? That when I shoot the arrow, I don't have control over the arrow after it's gone. And that's one of the challenges for us, my wife and I, in that our children now are adults. We've shot them out, all of them out of the quiver. We don't have the same kind of control that we did when they were knee-high to a grasshopper. Right? They're like arrows that are shot out. And so what does that need? It needs faith. Lord, help me to trust you that they make the right decisions. Right? It requires prayer. Are you praying for your children? Moms. Right? Grandmas. That's the most powerful tool we have still. Right? Proverbs says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord and he turns it whatever way he wants, like the stream, like the rivers, right? You still have an impact in their lives. Do you pray for children? I bet you do. I bet you do. And if you don't, well, you can go talk to the Lord about that. But the point is, does he hear prayer? Are they his children? You understand that? Your children don't belong to the state. I don't care what the president says. Okay? I don't care what politicians say. Your children belong to the Lord. Right? Do you understand that? Your children belong to the Lord. And the Lord has given them into your hand to raise them. And he has commanded you to raise them a certain way in the Lord. Where's that? Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We know that one. What is the next verse? And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk about them when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk around. What are you doing? You're discipling those children. Why? Because they're God's children. And so we are called to disciple them. So who owns the children? God does, and he entrusts them into the hands of parents, mom and dad. Notice there's one statement that I used to read, and I never really caught it, but notice at the very end of verse 5, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Did you catch the there? If you read the text, it should say, and he shall not be ashamed when he speaks of us to his enemies. But is that what the text says? Read it. He shall not be ashamed. She shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies. What's the point? The enemies of mom and dad are the enemies of the children. You see that? That they're a team. And together they are standing for what is truth. What is right. There is a continuation of the warfare of the kingdom of God. We are at war brothers and sisters. I've said this before, right? Right? Are you at war? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? The Bible calls, are you? So that means, is there an enemy? Yeah. Is the enemy of your soul that seeks to destroy you? Yes. What is one of the tools that God has given you to protect you? Your children. And you to protect them as well. Your mom, your dad. We're at war. But we are at war together. In other words, Christians procreate for the kingdom of God, not for the devil. That makes sense? I mean, I'm stating the obvious, right? Children of believers are for the Lord and the Lord's purposes. And God's enemies are their enemies. So, okay, thank you very much, Pastor. What has that got to do with me? Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day, moms, grandmas. You are blessed and are a blessing from God. Whether you hear it or not, it's true. Okay? You are blessed by God. God has given you a blessing, and you are a blessing. Take courage in God. It is from Him the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Rest in Him. Take comfort in Him. Be encouraged by Him. Don't look at the outward circumstances. Look to Him to do what is right for your children. And rejoice in the blessings that God has given you. Secondly, to those who would be mothers but are unable for whatever reasons, my advice to you is to become spiritual mothers, and for men, spiritual fathers, like Paul to Timothy through the gospel and Christian discipleship. Paul writes to Timothy, was Timothy his biological son? The answer is no. But what does Paul call him? My son Timothy, who I begot. Or, and he says the same thing to churches. I begot you through the gospel. So if you're not married or you've not been given the opportunity to serve, be a parent, you can be a parent. I think it's apparent that you can be a parent. The point is that we're called to encourage one another, to disciple one another in faith. To be those, especially older, in Timothy, Paul says that the older women is to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to do these things that they're called to do. If you, ladies, if you want to read a good book on this subject, it's Spiritual Mothering by Susan Hunt. It's a great book. Did you ever go through it with a number of times or a long time ago? It's a great book. Become a spiritual mother or father, disciple. And thirdly, okay, boys, men, you thought you were going to get out of this. It was just, you know, focusing on the ladies in particular, but for us as well, give honor to your mother. How do you do that? When's the last time you said, thank you, Mom, for putting up with me? Thank you, Mom, for having me. Thank you, Mom, for taking care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. Is that important? She needs to hear that. This psalm is a psalm, in summary, this psalm is a psalm of a reminder that God created mom for His purposes. Great is the calling of God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for granting unto us mothers and fathers. Thank You, Lord, for giving us not only physical mothers and fathers, but also spiritual mothers and fathers. We think of our brother Wes Bryce, who's passed on to You in glory, and Ginger, how they have been a spiritual mother and father to this congregation. Or we think about those in our past life and in times where they brought the gospel to bear, shared with us, or poured out their lives for us in discipleship. We thank you, Lord, for those like Paul to Timothy that have been in our lives and have discipled us and pointed us to Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, for the many gifts that you've given to us through our mothers and through those that have taken care of us and have loved us at great cost and sacrifice. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to appreciate them and to express that, and also to be able to be those that minister to the younger generation. We know that we all will pass from this life at some point in time and must pass the torch to the next generation. And so we pray that you enable us to do so. Help us to know it and help us to be able to pass it on. We ask, O Lord, for your blessing in this endeavor. Bless the moms, especially this day. In Jesus' name, amen.